from the Antiquity Department of the Aeronautical Archival Antiquities. You're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heaser. I recently was lucky enough to, well, be in the same room with Southwest Airlines founder and chairman emeritus, Herb Kelleher. I will be playing parts of this over the next several months, but here's the first installment. The first question asked was, originally, Southwest Airlines looked into flying the Lockheed Electra. What other aircraft did you look at initially for Southwest Airlines before service began?
Well, first of all, we didn't choose the Electra. The Electra chose us. We were a startup airline. We were not operating. And we had to demonstrate to the Texas Aeronautics Commission that we had access to airplanes to fly our routes, provided that they authorized us to do so. So we couldn't find any jets or any turboprops anywhere in the world, except the American Airlines Electras, which it was phasing out of its fleet. So we told the Texas Aeronautics Commission that, yes, American will provide us with these Electras if you certificate us to serve. And we didn't really desire that airplane. It was the only airplane that was available to us. As a matter of fact, in the ensuing years, as the litigation continued, we made an effort to get some options on BAC-111s, which were available, brand new airplanes. But then the litigation, you know, kept going, and finally BAC sold planes elsewhere. But we were very desirous of getting pure jets. And the Electras were just to tell the show the Texas Aeronautics Commission, hey, we got some airplanes, you know. If you give us a certificate, we can actually fly people.
The next question asked was, how did you stay so focused on the 737 and not experiment with larger aircraft? America West experimented with the 747 to Japan. What was the discipline involved?
When America West brought those 747s in, I rejoiced. I had a little party of my own for a couple of weeks because I knew those airplanes would be deadly for them. And we just had a lot of discipline about what we were doing. And we never were seized by hubris, you know. And in those days, a lot of the people in the airline business thought that you were measured by the size of your airplanes. You know, you weren't a real airline. You didn't sit at the head of the airline table unless you had 747s or L-1011s or DC-10s. We never succumbed to that lure. I've said at one time that we just circle around the dinner tables of the other airlines eating the scraps that they leave. And I said, I've seen lots of fat little puppies that live off scraps. So it was a matter of humility and discipline. I think the Southwest being involved in so many battles certainly contributed to the warrior spirit. It was just a question of survival every day. I mean, our flight attendants were out in the streets, you know, handing out petitions, and our pilots were too, in connection with the battles we were going through. And everybody knew that if we didn't win, they lost. So that produces a tremendous amount of unity. I used to ask the people of Southwest Airlines to imagine how they would treat the last customer that they would ever see. I said, you'd bring him in on, you know, a sedan chair. Well, that's the way you ought to treat every customer. And our people did. And they just did a fabulous job. But they had a warrior spirit that came out of a war, which went on for, you know, a decade.
The last question for this episode was, as the traveling public expects more while paying less, while the world keeps changing, is it going to be harder for us to compete?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that's the biggest inhibition to the airline industry being successful is the tremendous government regulatory burdens and the burdens of fees and taxes. They're truly extraordinary. And I think we need a governmental policy that says, hey, airlines are essential industries, and we need to let up on you just a little bit. At one time, the taxes and fees that an airline passenger paid were higher than the taxes on alcohol and cigarettes, you know, percentage-wise. And I said, that's a triple whammy for me. You know, that's what I told the Congress. You get me three ways, smokes, whiskey, and airlines. And I think that the airlines are always going to be in jeopardy as long as the government regulation prevails in many different ways, and as long as the government looks to airline passengers as kind of swells, you know, who can afford to pay anything. Well, of course, you know, what we did refuted that. We demonstrated that if you lowered fares and increased frequencies, a lot more people would fly. So, you know, the reverse is true. If you increase fares through taxes and fees and decrease frequencies, less people will fly. But sometimes there seems to be a lack of understanding that the price elasticity works both ways. It's a rubber band that expands and it snaps back. So those things would be very helpful, I think, to us.
Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2010. Herb has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.